Yes, and the Crows CEO, Andrew Fagan. Now, let me tell you, he's got a 100% finals record. He's been here 1 year, and he's taken him to the finals in that very first year. Andrew, feeling pretty comfortable with yourself, no doubt.
Yeah, very funny. I'm on a roll, right? Absolutely on a roll. How's the show going? You boys doing okay out there?
Oh, yes, we're next to the Citrus SA stand. We've had some Wakeree Naval orange juice. It's absolutely tickety-boo here, mate. We're really enjoying it.
I can't believe how popular Bix is, Fags. That's the thing.
It never dies, does it? Well, make sure you go and check out the Adelaide Footy Club stand. Bix might even sign some autographs or something over there.
Oh, that's, we get a show bag. I went in there the other day and they were selling like hotcakes, Fags. So let's talk about the weekend. Obviously, it wasn't the result that Adelaide would have wanted. What have you got to say? Some people said that maybe the club fell for the old three-card trick in terms of worrying about the AFL and the rules and North Melbourne resting players when all they had to do was just get the win against Geelong and they would have been playing a home final.
Yeah, look, I think that the issues were really different. So we made sure that we were controlling what we could control, and we weren't good enough against Geelong and Geelong. But the issue around resting players and the like is an industry issue, and you know, we were engaged in it because it mostly affected us, and we had thousands of supporters wanting to know what our position was and wanting us to seek clarification from the governing body. So, look, you know, we did that. I think you'll find that the rule will be addressed in the off-season. I think the AFL recognise it's not a good look for the game, but, you know, when it comes to us, you know, we just weren't good enough on Saturday, and you know, we find ourselves at the MCG playing the Dogs, and that's our focus now.
So moving forward, what do you think the answer is to that round 23, inverted commas, general soreness? I suggested a rivalry round. We've had other suggestions. We have a bye at the end of the season. Other suggestions, there'll be a wild card play. Have you got an opinion as the CEO of the Crows?
Oh, look, mate, I think they're all worth considering it. You know, other people have spoken about having, you know, maximum numbers of players that you can rest in the final round. I think this is typically one of those issues that's easier to identify than it is to resolve. And nothing's going to be perfect, but look, it'll certainly be, I think, you know, on the CEO's agenda and on the AFL agenda in the off season, because it's general acceptance and, you know, right across the industry from pretty much, you know, I think 99% of the media, that it just wasn't a good look for the game, and we you know, we want players, teams playing on their merits, and we certainly don't want, you know, outcomes in that final week maybe influencing our finals placings and the like. So as it turned out, they didn't, but it could have been the case, and that wouldn't have been a good look for the game.
Yeah, and the integrity of those two contests was under question, no question about that. So do you then on that side feel for the Bulldogs not getting a home final this week?
Well, look, I could certainly understand from a Bulldogs perspective that they want to play at home, and they probably recognise Etihad as their home. So, you know, equally, I understand from an AFL position that they don't want spectators and fans locked out of the game. So I think the general assessment, from my understanding, was that the AFL thought that it was a game likely to generate, you know, support in excess of the capacity Etihad. And, you know, Gil's spoken often throughout the course of the year and season about, you know, having the fan at appropriately the centre of our football universe, and this decision was made in light of that. So, look, I can certainly feel for them with regards to wanting to play at home, but for us, it doesn't really probably matter too much. We've got to play them in Melbourne, away from home, and they're, you know, a very, very good team. They've played some great footy during the year. It's going to be a real challenge.
If it is to go beyond the capacity of Etihad Stadium, it means there will be a lot of Adelaide people travel. Now, in previous years, there's been between 10 and 20,000 people get across there. Is there anything that the club can suggest to make it easier for the supporters to get there?
Look, mate, I think the easiest thing in this regard is to get access to your ticket and then people make their own way. So, particularly given it's a night game, you know, we looked at Crows Jet and the like to, you know, cater for some smaller numbers, but given it's a night game and most people like to, when they take those sorts of services, like to get there and back, it provides some logistical difficulties. So I haven't looked in the last few hours, but I saw earlier in the day there were still some pretty affordable airfares to get to Melbourne, so certainly encourage people to take advantage of it and to get across and support the boys. So still plenty of tickets available at the MCG, and I'd like to think that we can get it to a point where Crows supporters might outnumber Bulldog supporters, or at least ensure that in terms of strength of voice, that we're on an even footing.
Well, the Crows people travel, there's no question about that. Appropriate now to mention this again, open training session for the fans, 9.15 at Amy Stadium. Yeah,
you mentioned Adelaide Oval, didn't you?
Free barbecue, kids zone, and all players will be on hand.
Amy Stadium,
yeah, no, 9.15.
Definitely out at West Lakes. Yeah, encourage people to get along out at West Lakes and wish the boys all the best in their final training session before heading across. They'll go across on Friday afternoon, and it'll be great to see lots of people out there to support them, and all the staff will be out there. We're certainly looking to say good day and thank people and engage as much as we can.
We spoke to you 2 weeks ago. Has anything changed on the coaching front? Your timeline's still going to be maybe the first or second week of October?
Yeah, mate, no, nothing's changed. So I don't see it really going beyond the first week in October. We're comfortable with where it's at. I think, all of those that might be interested in the role that we're interested in, no. We've touched base with them, but we've just got to address those conversations appropriately, throughout the course of the final series. And, we're happy and with where things are at today, and I'm feeling comfortable that we'll have a decision made by, the week following the grand final.
It's only a day or two since the end of the season already. Plenty of talk about trades and movement. There's coaches who have, assistant coaches that have been moved on and shipped out. Who makes those decisions when you are without a coach?
The club's got to make its decisions at the times that it needs to make those calls. So our coaching group, the broader staff, those that are off contract and we can afford to sort of take a little bit more time with. Now, they want to see who our coach is going to be. But I think they've got confidence that we'll make a good decision in that regard. We made an enormous amount of change at the end of last season. So we're pretty comfortable with where the program is at. We feel as though it's heading towards the elite program that we need it to be, a leading one in the AFL that can deliver enduring success. So where we need to make an early call, we'll make it as a football, as a club. Obviously, David Noble's in there as head of football. We've got two guys fulfilling the roles of director of coaching and head coach. Well, so we've got the. We've got a football committee as well. So we've got all the wherewithal in there to make the call. And should we need to make it prior to the appointment of our coaching structure for 2016 and beyond?
Johnny Worsfold will be up to his eyeballs with those decisions. Is he sitting on all those committee meeting decisions on list management and signing of PPT staff, if you like, and assistant coaches?
But we certainly get John's input, so we're trying to ensure that the role he's playing is one that's as normal and natural as possible, should you've been in that role on a full-time basis, and that's been the case since he joined us in early July. We didn't want it to look like an interim position. It was to come in, hold us bolus, and challenge and critique and question, and he's one of the world's greatest questioners. He does it really well, and brings the best out in people. So we've got him playing that role, and he absolutely provides input into all of our assessment and assessment processes and the like. We'll continue to take advantage of that.
And the only reason I ask it, it's got to be respectful, because I'm respectful for Woosha and obviously you and your position and letting things get out into the media. But, if he's committed to the Crows, that's well and good. We wouldn't want to see him pop up at Essendon. So that's the reason we ask, is he in those meetings? So how critical is Johnny Worsfold to your coaching decision?
We're enjoying the fact that he's here. And, look, we know he's a quality individual and he's played an important role with us over the last 8 weeks. And look, I've got nothing but the utmost respect for John, and he'll perform that role, respectfully. And if he ever believes there's a conflict of interest, I think he'll be the first person to let us know. So I've got no concerns in that regard, mate.
No, I understand that, and that's why we asked it respectfully. When people like me are saying give the job to Campo and Woosha, is that plan A? Win a final. How could you not give it to them if they win a final, go deep in the finals?
Yeah, look, mate, there's a lot of emotion that we're all riding on at the moment. Yeah. And, we'll make sure we make decisions that are based on having the best coaching structure for us for the future, and a whole lot of factors go into that. But ultimately, mate, as you know, these are really their personal decisions, their decisions that, you know, there's an enormous amount of work that goes into, and we don't detail those in a public sense. We'll work through our processes and we'll keep those confidential, and we'll let you know when we made a decision.
Thank you.
The Patrick Dangerfield scenario reached a crescendo, I guess, on the weekend. He went back to Geelong. Is there any updates on the timeline? Say, if we take it the day that the Crows are knocked out as ground zero, what are we talking? Plus a week, plus 2 weeks? What's your mail there?
Look, mate, again, I think I've pretty much gone nearly the whole season now without saying anything other than we don't provide running commentary on contract discussions, and I'm not going to change it now. Look, it was you know, a bit of fun down in Geelong on the weekend.
Yep.
Sure, it was enjoyed by all. It was, I think it was all in pretty good spirit. But mate, look, we're not going to comment on, you know, on individuals and their contract situations.
But you've got a membership out there that are just looking for an indication and just wanting to know when they can expect it. I don't think it's asking too much. A timeline of a week or two or a month.
Yeah, but Bix, you know how this works, mate. So if I had have been doing that, I think at the start of the year, Rowie, I remember sitting down and you saying to me, Faze, I'm looking at the list here. There's like 20 players that you've got off contract. And, you know, I'm worried. How are we going to get through them all? And, you know, we've continued to sign guys throughout that period. If I had have started to, and everything, one of them, give an indication of how long each of them are going to take, it was, or when a decision was expected from, I'm sure you can understand that would turn into utter chaos. So, they're just not decisions that, you know, we can share, because that's not the way in which these discussions take place.
Yeah.
So we've just got to work through that, and when matters are finalised, you know, you'll know about it.
Yeah, we're at the pointy end with it all. I think that's why there's a bit of, demand and excitement coming up with it. Can I just put this last one to you then? Has a deal been put to his management for him to stay?
Mate, I know you might want to ask the same question in a different way, but you're not going to get an answer that's going to be any different to the way I've done it. And the same way I wouldn't have answered you if you had asked me the same thing about Tom Lynch or about Rory Laird or about Rory Sloane or Taylor Walker, mate. So it's just not something that we talk about.
Okay, and look, from the CEO's perspective, you must be so proud of this playing group and the coaching staff, all in sundry, stepping up to get this group back into the finals. Must be fantastic for the club.
Mate, I am really proud. And look, at the start of the year, you know, we said that we thought we had the capability to make finals, and that was a clear goal. We'd come through an enormous amount of change that had been delivered over the off-season. And then, you know, throughout the course of the season. And look, I'm really proud that they've been able to, you know, set out and achieve that goal, and particularly noting that we had some tragedy that we had to endure and that we're still sort of working through as a footy club. But I know that, you know, the players, the coaches and the whole club at that point in time said, you know, we didn't want to let a season go past without, and wondering what if. We wanted to deliver, you know, not just for Phil, but for everyone in the footy club. And I'm really proud that everyone stepped up and has done their extra little bit to look after each other, to show a lot of team care, and to produce a result that would make our supporters really proud. So, you know, we've got there now, but that's, you know, that's now a line in the sand. And now the challenge is to see how deep we can go. And, you know, I know the boys will be leaving, you know, nothing left in the tank on Saturday night.
There was a couple of reports about a week and a half ago that Brett Burton was leaving the Brisbane Lions and coming back to Adelaide, and everyone assumed he was coming to the Adelaide Football Club. But can you confirm or deny anything that's going on with Brett?
Well, no, I can't, mate, because I know I'm starting to sound pretty boring here. We want to be as engaging as possible, want to be as transparent as possible, but forever and a day, while I'm at this footy club, mate, I'm just not ever going to talk about circumstances of individuals, players, coaching staff, other staff, administrative staff, because it's just inappropriate to do so. So, you know, people should not read into that anything. It's just inappropriate to do so. I've always found it to be the case. And, you know, look, I saw those reports as well. But it's, you know, that's the time of the year that we're in. There's people changing seats and there's a lot of speculation, but, you know, it's not appropriate for every other club to make comments on, you know, those that are within your club, let alone those that are not within your club.
Yeah, but does it anger you? Because it was definite link to Adelaide. You've got a bloke there by the name of Nick Paulus that we're hearing all sorts of stories that he may or may not be there. So long as the management's around those sort of guys and you don't get one of them spat out the other end, I think that's where a lot of this comes from, Fakes.
Yeah, look, mate, it doesn't anger me because this is just part of the industry. So, you know, look, and I think I read it at the same time as looking at those reports I was reading about Brett joining Melbourne as well and reuniting with his mate Simon Goodwin. So it's just, you know, you just can't speculate on these things. It's, you can't hypothesise, you can't guess, you can't triple guess. What people need to know, and I suppose this is the message to the supporters, is that, you know, what's reported in the media isn't always accurate. Sometimes there's some elements of truth in there, but what we've got inside the club are a whole bunch of people working their backsides off through the day and through the night to present the best possible football program that they can, the best club that they can, that's going to try and, you know, deliver on the success and the, you know, the goals and the objectives of all of our supporters to the best, you know, to the greatest possible extent. And, you know, that's what our driving, you know, influence is. And, you know, we'll continue to do that, and they should take faith in the fact that, you know, we'll try and make really good decisions that they're going to be pleased of and proud of.
Andrew, thanks so much for having a chat with us, mate. You covered off on most things we were after, and congratulations for returning the Adelaide Football Club into the final series.
Good on you guys. Appreciate your support throughout the course of the year, and certainly the support of our members and fans. It's been absolutely fantastic, and yeah, everyone should be really proud. And I've got to go now. I've got to get changed into my tux. I'm heading off to the McGarry Medal, so I look forward to my first night there, and it should be a lot of fun.
Well done, Fags. Maybe Jared Lyons may win it. Crows are in the finals, Bix, which is fantastic, and in great hands with Andrew Fagan. You can absolutely hear that. Mentioning it again, open training session for the fans, 9:15 at Amy Stadium. It's this Friday, free barbie, a kids' zone. All the players will be on hand. Our special guest, Andrew Fagan.